All right, I'm going to begin with a question. You ready for this one? Now you got to think. You ready? Think with me. Think with me. How many of you in this building, I just want to poll, how many of you in this building started out your life as a baby? Raise your hand. All right, some flew in from another planet, I see. All right, that's okay. We're all different. Amen. I remember when my boys were born in Daytona. Two of them were born at Halifax. One was born up in Ormond at that hospital, back the old Ormond, there off of Granada. And I remember when my boys were born here, and what an incredible life-changing event. And after my boys were born, we took them home and we provided them a home. We provided them a family to grow up and to mature in. It wasn't enough, really, for them just to be born. You know, you wait 9 months. Finally, Denise has the boys. You know, and it's awesome. It's exciting. It's life changing. But Denise and I, we don't just high five each other and then leave the baby at the hospital, right? We did it. Woo! Yeah, and go home. No, we take the baby home with us. Why? Because babies need a family. Likewise, if you're saved, we preached about 3 weeks ago on the importance of having a right relationship with God. And when you enter into a right relationship with the Lord, that's an exciting day. It's awesome. When you get saved and you get into a right relationship with the Lord and you're born into God's family, it is an exciting day indeed. I remember when I got saved, I was on cloud nine. But you know, one of the things I found out after I got saved is that it was very important for me to have a spiritual home. In your handout, there's a statement there, and it says that we need a spiritual home and a spiritual family here on earth. You need a place where you can grow up in the Lord. Just like a baby needs a home to grow up in and a family, when you get saved and you get into God's family, you need a place to grow up. You need a family. And that's really, this is precisely the reason why many Christians struggle in following Christ for the long haul after they get saved. Man, you get saved and you're all excited and you're fervent and you just are so happy to be saved and to be in a right relationship with God. And you're so excited and you're just overjoyed. But if you don't get connected to a church family, if you don't get connected to a spiritual family, what happens is you become like a spiritual orphan. You know, sometimes we talk about someone, we say a person is homeless, and it, you know, and you look at this person and you look at this lady and it's sad, and I know it just breaks your heart because it's obvious this woman's living out of a bag here and she's all alone. You know, when we say a person's homeless, it means that they have nowhere to belong, you know, and there are a lot of believers who know the Lord who are spiritually homeless. They're spiritually homeless. Now, the Bible teaches that once you get saved, you become part of something called the body of Christ. When you get saved, you become one with Jesus. You become bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. You and Jesus become one. And the Bible says that we become members of his body. We're members of the body of Christ. Now, you know, we use that term, you know, student body, president. You know, we understand that the body refers to a group, a body of people, a student body at school. We talk about a body. Well, the Bible likens us to a body. It says that we are the body of Christ. Once you get saved, you become a member of the body of Christ. Now look in your handout at 1 Corinthians 12:27, a verse I provided in your handout for you. Paul writes to the church at Corinth and he says, "Now ye are the body of Christ," and he says that they are members in particular. Now that text goes on to give the analogy of saying, okay, one person, one member may be an eye, one member of the body may be a foot, another member of the body may be an ear. Probably too many members of the body are mouths. Amen. But we got a lot of members of the body. Now, what's the point? The point is that you were created in Christ. Now listen, you were created in Christ when you got saved to work in conjunction with other members of the body of Christ. That's why I gave the analogy. One's an ear, one's a foot, one's a toe, one's an arm, one's a leg. You were created in Christ to work in conjunction with other members of the body of Christ. What would happen if a part of your physical body, whether it be maybe a thumb, a toe, a foot, an arm, what if a member of your physical body was severed from the rest of your body? What would happen to it? Yeah, it would just shrivel and die. Why? Because it's separated from the life's blood of the body. The Bible teaches that every believer needs a church family. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. It was a local group. It was a local church like Crossroads. You say, what do you mean? It was made up of people. When we talk about Crossroads, we're not talking about this building. If the building burned down, would we cease to exist as a church? No, the church isn't the building. The church is the what? It's the people. Exactly right. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, a group of people like you and I. And God explains in this letter to the Ephesians why it's so vital that every single believer have a church family. Number one, in your handout, I want you to get this statement. Number one, the first reason why it's so important is that a church family identifies you as a believer. A church family identifies you as a believer. Now go to Ephesians 1:1. All right, first verse of the book, Ephesians 1:1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Obviously, he's writing to a group, right? You see the plural? Now go to chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 1. He says, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, verse 5, even when we, plural, were dead in sins, hath quickened us, and what's that next word? Together. He's quickened us together with Christ. That's interesting. He could have just said he quickened you in Christ or with Christ. He said he quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Go down to verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh. We've all been made near by the blood of Christ. Go over to chapter 4, please. Chapter 4. And look at verse 4. It says, there is one body. I'm in 4:4. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Right, in a group of people. And he says, there's one body, there's one Holy Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you. And that last word's important. What is it? All. Now, have you ever noticed that whenever the Apostle Paul, who wrote 13 books of the New Testament, whenever Paul wanted to write to believers, did you ever notice he wrote to churches? Now that may be a simple truth, but yet in a way it's profound. Whenever he wanted to write to Christians, he wrote to local churches. He wrote to the churches of Galatia, the church at Ephesus, the church at Philippi, the church at Thessalonica, the church at Corinth. You know, the church that was at Rome. Now, I know he wrote a few letters to individuals, but they were pastors of local churches. They were leaders in a local church, and he's telling them, you know, how they need to lead the group. And so, most of the time, Paul always writes to churches when he wants to write to Christians. He didn't write to the local YMCA when he wanted to talk to Christians. He didn't write to a local community group. He didn't write his letters to some local club. He wrote his letters to churches when he wanted to write and instruct Christians. Now, please understand, I am not saying that you become a Christian by joining a church. Okay, that's ludicrous. That's ridiculous. You don't become a Christian by joining a church any more than you would become a car by living in a garage. Okay? All right? Just because you live in a garage doesn't make you a car. And you do not become a Christian by joining a church. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying that being a church member makes you a Christian. It absolutely does not. But it is a mark of a believer. For example, If someone says to you, if a kid says, I'm a baseball player, then you would expect someone who says, I'm a baseball player, to be a part of a what? A team. Right, a baseball team. If somebody says, I'm a soldier, you would expect the soldier to be part of a platoon. Right? An army, a platoon. If somebody says, I'm a college student, then you would expect them to be part of a what? College. If somebody says, I am a bee. All right? If somebody says, I'm a bee, then you would expect them to be part of a hive. I had honey this morning, and I don't know, it doesn't look as good after seeing that picture. But, yeah. So if somebody says, I'm a Christian, you would expect them to be part of a church. It's just a mark. Doesn't make you one. No, it's because I am a Christian, I'm part of a church. I'm not a church to become a Christian. But I am part of a church because I am a Christian. That's natural. In your handout, it says this. It says, in the Bible, believers have some distinguishing characteristics. Paul lays those out, doesn't he? And one of those is that they're part of a local church. That's just part of being a Christian. You're part of a local church. Now, being a member of a Bible-believing church, that identifies you to others as a Christian, a believer on Jesus Christ. Sometimes I'll talk to people, you know, I'll get in a conversation, and I'll start witnessing. And the person will say to me, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Oh, yeah, 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 I know the Lord. Yeah, really? Yeah, oh, yeah, I'm saved. And I'll say, oh, really? Well, what church do you go to? Oh, well, I don't go to church. You ever had that happen? You tell somebody, you witness to them, and they say, oh, yeah, yeah, I'm saved. I got saved. Yeah, I know Jesus. Oh, really? Well, what church do you go to? Well, I don't go to church. And you kind of leave scratching your head, wondering, that's weird. You see, being a member of a local church is a testimony to other people of who you are. It's a mark of who you are. All right? Number two. The second thing we learn in Ephesians is that a church family is what you were created for in Christ. A church family is what you were created for in Christ. Church, do you remember what God told Adam in the Garden of Eden? Remember what he said? It is not good for the man to be what? Alone. Now keep in mind, Adam's in the Garden of Eden. He's got this perfect, sinless environment, right? He's got all the food he wants to eat. He's got this perfect environment, sinless environment. He's got animals to keep him company. And God said, it's not good for man to be alone. He was missing something. You know, he had everything he needed to thrive, but you know what? He didn't. And God created Eve. She was a helpmeet to him. God, what's my point? God did not make you to go at it alone, physically or spiritually. I'm not talking about being married. Okay, we know Paul wasn't married, but Paul had a circle of people in his life. God did not make you to go at it alone. A baby that's born can be born healthy, can be born natural, just everything's wonderful, but that baby cannot make it alone. That baby has to have somebody. When you get saved, you're a baby Christian, and you need others. Listen, in your handout it says, God does not create a person in Christ to be a spiritual hermit. I bet y'all have never written the word hermit in a sermon handout before, have you? But God did not create you to be a spiritual hermit who is isolated from other believers and deprived of fellowship. Now go to Ephesians 2, and I want to show you something here. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. And remember, the Bible is our guideline. The Bible is the one that is going to reveal truth to us. And look at verse number 19. Now therefore, he tells these Christians, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but, notice the phrase, fellow citizens with the saints. Then notice the next phrase. He said, now they're members of the, notice that word, what is it? Household. I love that. You're a member of the household of God. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now look at the analogy, verse 21. In Christ, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom, in Christ, ye also are builded, notice the phrase, builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. The Bible pictures the church as a building. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. Jesus is our foundation. Without knowing Christ, we're not even in the building. So we've got to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. He's our cornerstone. So he says that the building is fitly framed together and grows. So you're not a brick lying all alone. You're a brick that's part of a much bigger structure. If I have a single solitary brick, what can I build with that? The answer is nothing. All right? If I've got a brick, I can't build much with that, can I? No. But if I have a brick, come here, Xander. Come here, Caleb. Come here, Adam. If I got a brick, and Xander's got a brick, stay right there, Xander. Don't leave. And if Caleb's got a brick, and if Adam's got a brick, we're on our way to building something now, amen? Woo! When it was just me over here all by myself, I can't build anything with that. But if I got a brick, and he's got a brick, and he's got a brick, and he's got a brick, and all God's children have bricks, we're on our way to building something. Amen, guys? Amen. We can build something. We're on our way, see? Now, I don't have enough bricks for everybody, but thanks, guys. Appreciate that. Let's give him a hand. Good job, guys. Thank you. All right, now we're on our way. See, now you get the analogy, right? That the church is a building. This is God's plan, is that you're a brick next to another brick, next to another brick, next to another brick, and then side by side, together. Side by side, he said, together. 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 You see, a church family is what you were created for in Christ. It's what you were created for in Christ. The Bible tells you that. A church family identifies you as a believer. Number three, let me give you the third point. It says there that a church family helps you to grow spiritually. Now, that, the name of the message this morning is Finding a Place to Grow Up. And a church family helps you to grow spiritually. God's plan for every one of his children is to grow stronger and grow healthier spiritually. Now, a person, I've heard this before, I don't know if you've ever heard this, but a person may say, well, sure, I want to grow, but I'm just going to sit at home, I'm going to read my Bible, and I'm going to pray. And you know what? I don't need anybody else. I'm just going to sit at home, read my Bible, pray, and I can grow on my own. Is that what the Bible teaches? Is that God's plan? That's not God's plan. I want you to look at Ephesians 4:15, all right? Ephesians 4:15. Is Bill in here, Bill Schultz? Oh, it's right on the front row. Good night. All right. Could you get a little air going? A little air conditioning? Could we get a little air going? I don't want people going comatose on me in here, okay? All right, Ephesians 4:15. It says, but speaking the truth in love may, and everybody say the next two words, church, what is it? Come on, a little bit louder. May what? Grow up. Did you ever tell your brother or sister, grow up? Y'all never did that, right? Just me. All right. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him, into Christ, in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now, The Bible's plan is for us to grow up. Would you all agree that God wants us to grow after we start out as a baby Christian, but God wants us to grow in our maturity and our understanding of God's Word. He wants us to grow. Would you all agree with that? Amen? Now look at verse 16. Look at the next verse. It says there in verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined, and what's that next word? Together. And compacted, look at the analogy here, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual, the powerful working in the measure of every part. Now look at this, maketh increase. That means to grow. It maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Wow. Right after he said, I want you to grow up, he then in verse 16, he refers to the whole body. It's evident from this passage, church, that growth takes place as the body works together. You see, the Bible, we know, is absolutely essential to your spiritual growth. We here at Crossroads believe that the Bible is the key. It's the key to growth. There's no doubt about that. You have to have the Bible in order to grow. You got to know it. You got to understand it. Why? Because it's your food spiritually. But I will say this, and I know the Apostle Paul would amen me if he was here. Because this is exactly what he's teaching in this text. In your handout, it says, we grow in Christ faster, we grow faster, and we grow stronger by learning from each other and being accountable to each other. Amen. You see, as you establish relationships with other imperfect people, as you establish relationships with other imperfect and maybe even irritating people. Is it possible that there could be irritating people in the body of Christ? I think we all can be, amen? I think we all have our little things that irritate, all right? So as you establish relationships with imperfect, irritating people, you learn lessons. You learn lessons about love, about forgiveness, about forbearance, about mercy, about kindness. And the list goes on and on. The Holy Spirit teaches you those principles in the Bible, but then the local church is a place where you live it out. You practice those things you're learning as you're dealing and as we relate with each other. That's how we learn. We put into practice what we're learning. Exercise thyself unto godliness. You know, you got to practice what you're learning. And that's how you do it. God's plan is you join and get connected to a church family. And by the way, if you become part of a church family, will there be times of hurt and disappointment? Absolutely. It's just like being part of any family. I guarantee you, how many of you in here, your brother or sister, ever hurt your feelings? Sure. And your parents disappointed you. Or someone in your family upset. That's part of being a family, isn't it? Well, why do we think we can be part of a church family and not go through that? Well, I'm not going to go to church anymore. Bunch of hypocrites up there. I get so sick of hearing that. Not going to go to church. Just a bunch of hypocrites up there. And you know what I say to people that tell me that? I say, well, why don't you come and show us how to do it right then? We need an example. We need somebody with not an ounce of hypocrisy. So come on and show us how to do it. Help us straighten the church out. You know? Come on. None of us in here are perfect. Can I get an amen? Amen. We all mess up. We all hurt each other's feelings. We all disappoint each other. That's part of being a family. But as you learn to forgive and as you learn to love people, you find yourself growing and you find yourself developing in the fruit of the Spirit. All right, let's go to the next point. Number four. A church family allows you to be a contributing player on God's team. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 11. Ephesians 4:11. It says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now look at verse 12. For the perfecting, the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry. And then he says, for the building up, the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because we're actually going to take several weeks in a few weeks and talk about this. But I want you to get a statement in your handout. It says, if you're saved, God has gifted you to serve in the body of Christ. There's a particular role, there's a participating role for you to fulfill on the team. So our job as leaders is to help you discover where you fit on the team, equip you to serve, then turn you loose and let you do it. That is one of our philosophies here at Crossroads. It's not about four pastors running around like chicken with their head cut off trying to do everything. That's not what our church philosophy is. Is that, you know, we got four pastors, got 1,000 people, and we're just going to run around like chickens with our head cut off and try to do everything. No. No, our job is to equip you to serve the Lord, teach you, instruct you, help you mature, help you understand God's word, help you understand where you fit on the team, then turn you loose and let you serve Jesus Christ. A lot of preachers are afraid to do that. You know, they want to keep everything right here, but you got to do that if people are going to grow up. I mean, why should I be the only one to make mistakes? Amen? Yeah. I need to let you do it too. And that's why we've got, you know, so many groups in our church, small groups that meet. And we want people to be able to use those gifts. All right. Number five, a church family provides you with spiritual protection. Spiritual protection. Are Christians above temptation? Yes or no? No. Look at verse 27, chapter 4, verse 27. It says there, neither give place, give room, give space to the devil. Now, let me ask you a question. If the Bible says I shouldn't give place to the devil, and he's writing to Christians, then can I not logically conclude then that it is possible for a Christian to give place to the devil? Yeah, otherwise he wouldn't have said, don't do it. It's possible for us to do that. Hey, verse 30, look at verse 30. He says there in verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Can I grieve the Holy Spirit through sin in my life? Yes, we all can. Hey, we are all capable in our flesh of doing any kind of sin. God knows that. And God has put in place a way of keeping each other accountable and helping each other to keep each other on track. And that way is called the local church. If you look at chapter 5, verse 21, what does it say there? Let's all say it together. Chapter 5, verse 21. Let's all say it together, church. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That's why small groups are so important. If a church gets to 30 or 40 people, they've got to start breaking it down into smaller groups. Because what happens is, you can't really get to know 40 people. You know, you can get lost in the crowd pretty quick. So you got to start breaking that thing down. Why? You want a group of 10, 15, 20 people. Why? Because that's a group of people that you love, you care, that you know care about you, you know they love you, and they've got your phone number, they got your email. They can shoot you a text, and you're involved in each other's lives. That's the idea of the word fellowship. Now, Satan loves it when believers are severed from the life of a local church. Why? Well, because when you're in isolation, there's nobody watching your back, so to speak. And in your handout, it says Satan knows that when you're severed from the life of a local church, it says he knows that you're vulnerable to his fiery darts. Chapter 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Man, hey, Satan is fighting. And Satan is our enemy. You need somebody watching your back. Somebody kind of helping you stay accountable. Hey, church, listen. It's one thing to attend a local church. It's one thing to attend. It's another thing when you say, you make a commitment and you say, you know what? That's going to be my spiritual home, my spiritual family. That's where I'm going to set down roots. You take it to another level of commitment, which means more growth for you. No longer are you like this guy on the picture here. You're no longer in the bleachers. Doesn't that guy look pitiful? You can just tell his whole world's been pulled out from under him. He's all by himself. Hey, when you become a member of a local church, you get involved in a local church, and that becomes your home, your family. No longer are you just kind of sitting up in the bleachers, watching. No, you're like this picture. You are on the field. You're on the field, man. You're contributing. You got other players around you. You're on the field. You're contributing. Somebody says, well, but Pastor Dan, I'm waiting. I'm not going to join a church and I'm not going to be part of a church. I'm waiting till I find the perfect church. Guess what? You're never going to find it till you get to heaven. You know what? When the rapture takes place and the heavenly assembly of the body of Christ is all assembled and we are together with the Lord, we'll have bodies like Jesus and we'll have a perfect church then. But not until. Until then, guess what? We are soldiers in God's army. We're fighting in enemy territory and we need each other. With all of our warts, blemishes, weaknesses, faults, failures, we need each other. In your handout, it says, the Bible teaches that we all need a church family. We need a church home. And I thought that's a great word to end it right there, the word home. We all need a church home. We need a place to grow up. A place to grow up. Do you realize what we've done over the last 4 weeks? We're kind of, basically, we've looked at Christian living 101. We've gotten back to the basics. You need a relationship with God. Look up here. The next step is once you have that relationship with the Lord, the next thing is the foundation of your Christian life is your communion with God. That's got to be there. That's before anything. You've got to have that daily communion and walk with the Lord. But that's not all. You also need others. You need a family. You need a church home. The Bible says that we're fellow citizens together. We grow together in the Lord. So we need that church home. I hope you have that.